Good afternoon and welcome to one of the most confusing home run I've ever had to, to come and actually I've ever had to prepare for.
You were going to roast yourself on your own.
That's why I'm starting.
I thought I was going to lead you to the promised land, but okay.
Oh no, you're going to have to do that. welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of 6, and it's Home Run, your drive time show. We're here, as always, with yet another exciting topic. And this one has to do with the world that is, that we all know, at least according to our 2013 statistics. The literacy is there, but the discipline is nada. And that is the world of finance. Yeah, that's still my favorite, that's one of my favorite national statistics ever done.
I heard that thing last night at the Basic Income Grant discussion where, I'm sorry for identifying him, but the executive director of finance, Dr. Hamu Vindu said, well, cause, you know, the other particular audience members.
Yeah.
Cause we're now literally like two or three media people. Cause David and I, we were there in the audience.
Yeah.
So we ask straightforward questions. We keep to the, we keep to the subject matter and we ask questions that potentially could probe an additional level of the thing.
Yeah.
But then you have people, it was already explained. You can only maneuver so far with the money that you collect from the taxes and the other means that the government has at its disposal for tax collection or revenue collection. And then there's a guy that gets up and says, so can't we look at what is wastage and some things and not look at all these campaign promises that have happened, obviously, up and until now, from elections last year into the new year with NDP6's launch and stuff like that. And then the executive director goes and says, listen, guys, that's why I said in my presentation, you need to balance what you get, what you collect, and ultimately what you can spend that money on. Every time the question is just turned in a different scenario by another audience member, and then he has to give the same response again.
So at the end of the day, it's all, at the end of the day, it's all about balancing your expenses and income.
Technically, yes. And the scenario obviously was based upon an aspect in terms of where one guy was like saying, yeah, this promise of the free tertiary education for next year scenario that obviously the president, now the minister of education, has to now go and, to explain to everyone, isn't that, can't that be considered like an unnecessary thing? And then the executive director went and gave a detailed response where the one guy literally said, actually David said this. So I have to cite David in his attribute this particular statement to him.
Yeah.
That literally you could see that obviously, him as the only government representative at this particular platform was ready for such a level of engagement.
Yeah.
And for such level of interrogation from, members of the general public, obviously, as many of the people in the audience were from the general public. But the one based upon the educational component, which I'm now continuously pushing to the left every time, his response was literally, well, you don't want to see 25 years down the line or 12 years down the line or 15 years down the line when the person comes to grade 12, and which is now grade 11, and grade 12 is now your advanced subsidiary level, that the person can't read or cannot comprehend what they just read. The functioning illiterate. They call that, it's literally a term that exists from the education realm, where in terms of many governments, obviously they don't just want to produce people, but they actually want to ensure that the aspect of the level of the education that is being given to people in primary education and secondary education actually churns out a valuable member of society that can literally, achieve, heightened levels of skills development. And the executive director explained that scenario. You have to look at how you refine, tweak, and ultimately try to achieve a developmental goal, because you don't want to sit with it's 12 years of education, right? From age six. up to 18. Give or take, yeah.
Give or take, because, you know, there are some type of monocultures that take place here and there, that 12 years.
100%, yeah. And some elimination rounds also. Somewhere in there between.
Throwing in the towel.
Yeah. So, okay, so we stay on the 12-year limit, right, of education. And then he also highlighted specifically that in some cases, early childhood development centers that were supposed to be dispensing early childhood development skills were technically just daycare centers, because the person that was supposed to be an early childhood trainer or tutor or teacher, or the person dispensing said particular skill sets to the little kids, was just a caretaker, because they were not certified, or they were just, you know, they were not that kind of a person with that kind of skill set. Thus, you potentially sit with, you know, a Namibian that reaches grade 12 or AS level, and unfortunately, that person was technically stunted in their education, in their education career exposure throughout their 12 years of being in the education process. And that was such a profound thing to hear, with people literally, you could sense, people weren't shouting because they had a microphone, but you could hear their frustration in terms of the explanation. And you could sense literally, and I know this is a conversation for us next week, Helmut, this Basic Income Grant, and we're obviously starting from another particular financial landscape of things. But just for our listeners to understand, these developments, I always love the societal interactions that I continuously observe every day.
And in the sum of these events,
and then I just sit there, you know, twiddling my thumbs, going, this is some good stuff, you know?
This is fun.
This is awesome. So, that was the scenario. The basis of the discussion obviously was that many of the audience members wanted an immediate answer. You know, they wanted an immediate elastoplast to the wound that they see every day. And a lot of them were civil society. A lot of them were activists and social advocates for certain things, social justice advocates and the likes. We've interviewed those particular persons before on the Home Run. So, yeah, and you could hear the frustration from their side, but you have to understand. And ultimately, if you're looking at something like a basic income grant, it only comes from one source, and that source is from the government side. So on that particular note, guys, welcoming you once again after Helmut's welcome.
This
is your drive time session. Don't worry, Helmut will not be lost, guys. That's why we are two.
Will not be.
Yeah, this is the most confusing thing that you've ever had to develop on. I've only now seen the light literally 5 hours ago, when having to go through the research, the literature, to understand literally where the stable coin discussion came from.
Dwight, don't start from there.
No, I will start from there.
No.
Let's jump into the deep end.
No.
Because if you go and say now, Helmut, in your next sentence, cryptocurrencies. Then we'll have a whole bunch of people that will stick on the cryptocurrency side of things, because I've tried to explain what a central bank digital currency was. Mm-hmm. It's similar to a cryptocurrency.
In other words, one that's regulated.
Yeah. But one that is distributed only by the central bank.
Yeah.
And that literally emulates the amount of cash flow in your economy. So it's not that you are printing more money.
Yeah.
It's just that you are limiting the flow of money.
Okay, but first we have to look at what are stable coins. Stable coins, according to the sources that I had to scratch my head trying to understand the sentences that I was reading, which seemed to be in English, but boy, did they sound Latin. stable coins is a form of cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
It's not
a cryptocurrency. It runs on the technology of the cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But why I say it runs on the same technology is because the same process exists in both. Meaning, they are independent, verifiers of the code.
Yeah.
You still have the same process, you know, the blockchain process running.
Yeah.
The downside with the cryptocurrency, guys, it is controlled by a private entity. The stablecoin, which is also private in many cases, but they had to partner up with the government regulator to say, listen, we want to make our situation, our product, our item, as affordable, as accessible as possible.
Now, this is where the everything began to sound a Latin part that I was referring to earlier. Is a Bitcoin also a form of cryptocurrency?
Bitcoin is a crypto.
Is a crypto, is not a form of.
Not a form of. It is it the is granddaddy.
It is the granddaddy. Yeah. Yeah. But now, because every time that the word cryptocurrency, you know, is brought up, Bitcoin is the first thing that I think that pops
Bitcoin,
up into the heads
Ethereum,
of a lot of us.
Bitcoin, Ethereum. What's the other one's name? There are three of them. Three of the major cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. Now, here's now.
But
here's the thing.
They have different blockchain technologies.
Yeah, before we get into the biblical way of things.
No, just so that you understand. Don't for once think that that everyone uses the same blockchain technology. Ethereum is different from Bitcoin's technology. It's the same thing. It's just, instead of you seeing now, oh, there goes a Toyota, then you see a Suzuki, but they have the same engines in them.
Dwight, you see, after reading all this information that you shared, right?
Yeah.
Now that we're just sitting here, less than 20 minutes into Home Run.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to, you know, to understand what I sound like every time I talk about our job with my friends at home. Because the looks they give me.
When you start using, other particular explainers. To get the punchline through.
When I try to explain something that is, that is as difficult as telling them that Sankwasa is the urban and rural development minister.
They'll first ask you, what is urban rural development?
Exactly.
Okay, you can ask me to start again.
At this point, you have to understand that, the way that a stable coin sort of like, was explained in most sources was that, they made it sound like stable coins comes from the stability of the value compared to other forms of cryptocurrency.
You are right.
You have an idea how many websites I had to go through to get that information? Almost what? Gave me a headache.
Well, you could have just read one of the few resources I could have shared you with.
Dwight, I went through. Yeah. It's written in English. Yeah. I know that part.
The Investopedia one is the best.
Oh no! How I wish I opened that one first. It would have saved me a lot of time. And
because the way you understand it, right,
yeah.
is literally this other car example I want to give you.
Yeah.
So there are two technologies in terms of lifting the valves in a car's engine. There are two known technologies that are still applied. Toyota has the one. Honda has the other. But Honda came up with it first. If you've ever seen a Honda engine that says VTEC, Honda VTEC, the VTEC stands for Variable Valve Lift Technology.
You know, now I know why women don't call in our show unless it's a competition.
But when you go to Toyota, Toyota has got the VVTi. You've seen that label.
Yeah.
It's the same It's the same stupid thing. But just because Honda patented it first, it forced Toyota to develop another abbreviation for the same technology. Variable valve lift technology technically is how quick the engine valves open and close. So technically, you get more power.
To allow for the, combustion.
You get more power out of the engine.
Yeah.
So, and also the engine's durability obviously is also enhanced in terms of the engineering applied to the engine. That's why many people were so, are still so impressed with Honda's technology. And then many people who know about Honda's technology and many people that know of Toyota's technology, like the gentleman from Australia, who proved for the first time that his station wagon, it's a Corolla something station wagon that they sold in Australia in the 80s, and he had this thing since 1989. It's the first known Toyota car to clock 1,000,000 kilometers. He's been driving it since 1989. He's only had to change oil and, obviously do the basic services. But that's it, Helmut. That's it. So, indicating to you the name of the technology.
Yeah.
but they have the same thing. They do the same function. It's a little bit different from the algorithms that Ethereum and Bitcoin use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the code, basically. But the code is based on the same principle. You use blockchain technology to verify the code box by box. And who verifies it is the other particular factor that you've got to add into the dimension.
Now, that direction would be like us talking about coins and note money.
Yeah.
Looking at it from a banking technical, banking technical standpoint. It's just a couple of years ago when I was introduced to something known as fractional, fractional reserve banking or something like that.
Mm.
But there's a lot of there's a lot of lingo and technical. In technical language, basically, that's used into day-to-day execution of the banking practices that enable us to do all our payments in a way that we do. I mean, it's a very simple thing for us. I'm just swiping and all that, or I'm just depositing my money.
Mm.
But what's going on in the background in terms of how this money is moved from you who is here, who is the sender to the recipient, that is what we are basically talking about.
Yeah.
That's where we are seeing, again, in the same way that we are seeing the advancement of technology impacting agriculture with the implementation of smart farming technologies and, smart cars, smart watches, smart communication devices. In the world of the world of finances is just being impacted by technology the same way, where you are seeing a lot of payment systems that were not available, before the development of a smartphone.
Yeah.
Now is a possibility, like your wallets, Easy Blue, and all sorts of wallets, where now you don't need a bank account for someone to transfer you money. They can just send you one on your mobile phone. You go to the ATM and then withdraw it. Now, what happens in between? How this money ends up to how the money that I just sent by the comfort of my living room on my smartphone to my siblings. And then they go to the ATM at Vundo and withdraw it.
Mm.
It's like, we don't really try to, to ask ourselves this money is in my bank account. Which bank? And where? And how are they accessing it from a different ATM, for example?
Mm.
Now, that's where financial institutions, commercial banks, central banks now, but especially commercial banks now comes in handy.
Mm.
Now, this impact of technological advancement that's impacting all spheres of our lives is now impacting, sound like a negative word. It's also, revolutionizing the way that, money is moved. And that's where, digital payments now comes in.
Yeah.
That's where currencies like stable coins now we're talking about this because about 2 months ago when the Genius Act that was passed to congratulate Donald Trump on his genius
Helmut, what are you?
I know. Now,
are you angling for, to go to the US?
No, absolutely.
By making that statement?
I don't want to be deported to Rwanda.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's England.
Wait.
They'll deport you to El Salvador.
I think that was seven immigrants arrived.
Right. They must now also extend it to Rwanda.
It's Rwanda, South Sudan, Uganda, and Eswatini. Now, here's the thing. The thing is, 2 months ago when the Genius Act was brought up, this is the US government. They're trying to figure out how to regulate this, basically the cryptocurrency environment because it's not very centralized, so it's very difficult to regulate. And I know that regulation comes with security flaws and all, with the invasion of privacy because you have to know who is investing what and where.
Yeah.
Now, not regulating as much as I would not want my, my privacy to be invaded by some dictator that comes into office. Non-regulating an institution is also a bare idea.
Mm.
Easy example of that. Just look at platforms on the internet that don't have a lot of regulating going on. If you look at what goes on the dark web, for example, it's a very dark place. If you are a yes machine that clicks on everything, so regulating is it's just as important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think central digital based currencies are a good idea. Not a good idea if you look at it from a privacy perspective, but I would rather be secure and paranoid than dead.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, so the stable currency comes in, with the Genius Act is the first piece of legislation that looks into, at least looking in the direction of regulating the cryptocurrency environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing.
It does add, just correct me, it does actually impose the stable function, right?
The stability part is a significant part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the name. I think that makes a lot of sense. But here's the thing. The understanding and the use of it is not common knowledge for a lot of people. Not that there are not a lot of people talking about it. I think this is part of the negative part of the cryptocurrency world.
Mm.
There are a lot of people that are talking about it, trying to educate a lot of people on how the cryptocurrency universe operates, but a lot of them are either scammers or are involved into pyramid schemes, which means finding sources that are reliable is not easy unless you work with Dwight. Then it becomes very easy. How do you even find the IMF stuff?
Because it's the IMF stuff.
Yeah, it's the
IMF. I follow them on they've got a WhatsApp channel.
Yeah.
That's what I sent to you first.
Of all people you can follow, IMF?
Yeah. I also follow the World Bank, but the World Bank's guys are like they wake up like every 7 days and they say, hey, here's something new to post. And you go like, ugh, dude.
Now, there isn't,
keep me engaged. Don't post every 7 days something.
Now, the reason why I jumped to saying yes to us talking about this is because last week I made a video I made my own comedy on
not,
this
I
stuff.
Hope it's not that video.
This is a different one. Where, that video that went viral about, Francine Ndongo implementing a platform.
Oh, I was hoping it would not be the thumb sucking.
No, it's not the thumb sucking. Oh, no, that one is a different one. Look, look.
And Vanessa's going to beat us up, Helmut, just because of you.
Look, I didn't say that. I just cut the caption when he said thumb sucking and then put it in my video. I didn't even make the video. I didn't even conduct the interview.
That is true. That is true. That's true, you know.
Thumb fucking was a good idea.
Yeah, you know.
Explains why we don't make it.
2025 in Namibia. You gotta love Namibia.
That
there's thing. No country like Namibia. I love this country
not
too
a
much.
Single one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You were still saying.
Yeah. The world of cryptocurrency, a lot of people that are involved in it and they are trying to inform and, most information that's out there about cryptocurrency is more of a marketing pyramid scheme type of form. So, talking about it with someone that sort of like understand the technology like you, that'd be a good idea.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. Stable currency. When we're talking about countries like Namibia, we're not even at a place where we are allowed to, we're not even at a PayPal level of type of digital payment systems.
Mm.
Let alone cryptos.
Mm.
Are we going to get there?
In Namibia's context,
uh-huh.
First and foremost, just remember that at the start of this year, so I'm just giving you a historic review, there was the provisional licenses awarded to three particular cryptocurrency or cryptocurrency trading platforms. Provisional indicates obviously that these particular platforms cannot make money yet. They cannot operate to make money yet. It's just that they are, you're like in a limbo process saying, we'll give you something to say that you are recognized as a business.
More like probationary.
Yeah, but you cannot trade. You may not trade. Now, I know many media media practitioners in Namibia, for some reason, forget to read English properly in many cases. And I mean, technical jargon is not another planet. It's not like flying to Mars. All people just had to do in many cases was look at that statement that the Bank of Namibia brought out for those three cryptocurrency operators.
Yeah.
And go read what the Bank of Namibia explains. And the Bank of Namibia explains in the next sentence. What is this provisional license? It just says you may not trade, but you are technically almost like recognized to
as an entity that offers the service.
Yeah. And then they explain why they give you a provisional license by saying, we are doing due diligence. We're busy in the process of doing due diligence. So it's like you saying, or let's for example say, it's like I'm trying to marry a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, come back after
that. Yeah, we're going to start with a wedding after that.
Yeah.
Wedding not, example.
Not mine.
No, not mine either.
Yeah. It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of 5, and this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we are talking about money.
But we ended on a wedding.
We ended on a marrying a woman example.
Yeah.
On your mark, set, ready, go.
So you remember the Lobola example that Namibians love throwing up here to Namibian men, which tells Namibian men, actually, you know, you've got a taste before you actually go and buy. It happens. It is a reality. It's not my, it is my words, but it's an observation of that reality. And then people obviously end up with, you know, bundles of joy before being married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the template of what a lobola process is, it's with the parents of the guy that likes the girl. They obviously have to start a process, you know, and in many particular cultures in Namibia's landscape, everyone has a similar process scenario. It has to start that the parents of both sides have to meet each other so that they can look at what is the background and out of what kind of household both particular individuals come from, and obviously to know where this is going.
Yeah.
When you look at that process, Helmut, that is a due diligence process. It is a due diligence process.
Yeah.
Said particular due diligence process indicates to everyone, or indicates to the parties involved, which is the two lovers on the ground, and also their parents on both sides respectively, that specifically there's a scenario in terms of a joint venture being established. So now you're thinking business proposal, you know, business process wise. Now, you can apply that same due diligence aspect to specifically that provisional license that was issued to those cryptocurrency businesses at the start of the year. I obviously went a little bit further and I discovered that one of them was literally, based in Mauritius and at almost little to nothing information on their website. And I was like, okay, this is a good reason as to why the Bank of Namibia gave you guys a provisional, because there's nothing in your information. But yeah, that's literally the process that was started at the start of this year. Then, going back another step of the year into last year, the Bank of Namibia started with a process of exploring, and I wanted to go to that public engagement, Helmut, which was known as the Bank of Namibia exploring the central bank digital currency in a Namibian context, and they were inviting people to participate in a public engagement, public to submit, comments, suggestions and stuff like that, to learn from the public itself, and also to get a measurement of what was going on there. I never saw a report, obviously, on the Bank of Namibia's website about this particular engagement.
Yeah.
I interviewed Mr. Nicolai Chongarero here live in studio last year, asking him about that particular process. Did he participate? He indicated yes, he did. And, it then flows obviously into 2025. At the same time, the central bank was setting out that notice, Helmut, about seeking public engagement.
Yeah.
Just 3 months, 4 months before that, China was experimenting with the CBDC. The EU, I just have to check and just make doubly sure whether the EU has established their CBDC, but I saw in the IMF document, the magazine that I sent you, the one guy is literally saying there that the EU needs to quickly introduce a CBDC. But the EU is working on something, Helmut. There is a pipeline. They are already working on a CBDC, on a digital euro, to roll out in 2027. I'm speaking under correction in terms of the time frame, but they are already in the process of working on something. The coordination that we're obviously seeing here is that technology is battling. It's still flying at 100 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
We were sidetracked by the AI developments on the right. Now the existing technology discussions are coming back into the same frame. Central bank digital currencies, obviously, because the central banks have realized you don't want to leave your currency at the, what you call it, expose it or leave it at the mercy of these guys that are coming up with the cryptocurrencies, who are speculating that a Bitcoin needs to cost $124,000 US dollars, which is about, what's that? 20 million.
I think that's that's part of the reason why stable coin have basically been implemented, and also, it's seeing this significant development, including the policy backup.
Yeah.
Because, it's pegged 1-to-1 with, 1-to-1 with
the currency.
Yeah, with the currency that's
or with
pegged
a commodity
to
that
a commodity
has,
like
that,
gold, for example.
Yeah, that has a value.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we all know that the commodity is based upon a supply discussion, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, in terms of the commodity itself is then partnered up with a currency value. So you can see that the basis is it leads from one value component to another value component.
Yeah.
At the ultimate end, remember what I told you about inventory, if you're a business.
Yeah.
If you have inventory in your business, but you don't have money, ne? Any bank will always give you money in terms of a loan, because they will tell you, oh, but you have got something that you can convert into money. You can always sell the inventory, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thinking that you've got to apply, Helmut. But we'll quickly take a short break, Helmut, and then we'll come back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better.
Welcome back. It's 9 minutes past the hour of five, and welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. What's going on in the world of cryptocurrency, I think, can easily be equated to what happened it's safe to say somewhere around the time period of the creation of the Bretton Woods institutions, where you had a bunch of currencies basically, you know, battling for a spot at the, for a spot at the top as which one is going to be used as an international, which currency is going to dominate international trade. And as we know by now, that it's not a secret that the US dollar came out on top, and which is used in most of international trade. You have a lot of countries, especially nowadays, that are trying to sort of like break away from the, you know, from the weaponization, as it's been referred to, of the US dollar. Now, with the shifting from the traditional way of conducting, financial transactions to the digitized one, since everything, technology is revolutionizing everything. The financial world is not, just as equally impacted. Now, when you look at how a bunch of currencies, basically made out of coins and paper, were fighting for a top spot, which led to the, top spot and, a top spot, like, which one is going to dominate in terms of how it's going to be used, of which one is going to be used in international trade, of which the US dollar came out on top. The digital currencies are somewhat, I think, going to face the same sort of like, fight to the death. In the near future, take for example, 10, 50 years from now, one or two of them are going to pop up, and the rest, a lot of them are just going to, go into extinction, like we saw with, with physical currencies, currencies that could not stand the test of time. So, everything then is going to take a very simple direction, and that is of, one, security and assurance. two things, security and assurance. Now let's look now just looking at it from that, from a simple language and simple explanations. If you look at stable coins, stable coin, for example, and other, and other types of, I'm not sure if cryptocurrency is the right term to use. What is, the way that stable coin is, is basically being marketed up there by most of the platform, if, all platforms that I was able to come across was that, there is a stability that comes with it.
Yeah.
There is stability that comes with it. But now if you look at other, cryptocurrency, they seem to be, fluctuating like crazy in terms of value. And, then you come across something known as fiat currency, which doesn't have its, which does not have inherent, more like intrinsic value, which raises a lot of questions like, what's the point of having it?
Fiat currency is your currency.
Fiat currency is the one in my pocket. Yeah, that one.
Fiat currency is your currency.
Yeah,
that's the point. So it does have intrinsic value.
Are you sure? Yeah.
You remember you got off
my fiat currency.
Yeah, you got here. I put petrol in with my fiat currency. You know.
Hang on a second. What are the stables on Bitcoin?
No, Bitcoin isn't a stable coin.
It's cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
Is it pegged to any physical commodity, or more like, like physical property, like stable coin is?
No.
Okay, so, how is the fluctuation in value?
Yeah. So.
So it's always going up or down.
Yeah. But that is that is the trading aspect.
Okay, but isn't that the same with the fiat currency that we use today? It's always losing value or gaining value, because if you look at the at the daily exchange rates, for example, one day it's high, the next day it's low. How is that any different?
Well, if you have to look at the fluctuations, for anyone that has gone and try to understand what a stock market does, in many cases, stock markets are based upon latest policy developments. Those brokers, those traders translate, but before that...
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. That iconic taste of Heineken, loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken, loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Please go on.
Where I was. So, when you've got to look at the aspect of what is Bitcoin's issue, why people are looking at Bitcoin as if it's a gold nugget, the downside with Bitcoin, and this is something I discovered way at the start of reading surface level reading into cryptocurrencies, is the downside that one Bitcoin consists of X amount of Satoshis. Now, what is a Satoshi? Satoshi is the smallest unit of a Bitcoin. It's the smallest unit. So X amount of Satoshis equates to one Bitcoin.
So it's the same way that we look at,
megabyte.
Exactly.
Yeah, cents and
kilobytes
and cents and dollar.
Cents and dollars. Yeah. That's
so 100 cents gives you one Namibian dollar. So it's the same principle. But here is the biggest red flag. There is a limit on how many Bitcoin will be released. So there is a time frame. There's a lifespan of Bitcoin.
Okay, now another question. Who's doing the releasing?
The code. So every time multiple computers are busy verifying each block in the blockchain of Bitcoin, Satoshis get released. So you will continuously collect Satoshis, those computers.
Those massive
computer farms that you find in Iceland.
Yeah.
And there's almost one or two here in Africa. Mm-hmm. Those massive computer farms. So what they're doing is they're busy verifying each block in the blockchain code of Bitcoin. And the more you do that, the more Satoshis you are busy mining. So it's the mining that they call it mining, but the mining here is based upon you verify the code and you get rewarded. You get rewarded for the verification.
So it's not a physical mining.
No.
At least we know that part.
Yeah. So you're not digging out something out of the code. Uh-huh. The code is just being reinforced further through the verification process. If it's green, it's a go ahead. The verifying computer, the miner, gets rewarded with a Satoshi.
Huh?
Yeah, that is what blockchain is based upon, Helmut. It is, I can see the security in terms of the security aspect.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got a whole bunch of computers that verify every phase of code. Every block of code. The downside is, that phase can only move on to the next phase for verification. If this has been approved. So if there's, if someone tries to put in a different piece of code over here, then the whole chain will literally just stop at this block until it gets fixed, until the verification is improved. And how many of these coders have tried to explain it to me that I've looked at the explanation videos and so forth is that ultimately it's based upon that the computers do the talking.
Yeah.
You are not going to sit there and right-click and left-click and transfer from folder to file. You are not doing anything. Your computer, it's the principle of the data centers. It's the principle of what AI is doing to data centers that you and I explored in the in the International Energy Agency's report of, you know, the energy need that AI needs. So what AI, it's literally another code verifying another code. That's it. It's one code verifying another code. But here's the thing with Bitcoin, with Ethereum, with the cryptos. They are based on a scarcity principle, especially Bitcoin. Bitcoin will release in its lifespan. It literally has a lifespan. Yeah. Yeah. It literally has a lifespan.
Okay. Like an expiry date?
Yeah.
Right.
So Bitcoin, and you can look this up yourself. So what happens to the question that Investopedia has? It's a little article that they themselves have on this subject matter. What happens if Bitcoin releases all its 21 million or the whole 21 million Bitcoins have been mined? Now, the founder or the inventor of Bitcoin, which is still unknown up until 2025. They had a major court case in the US before COVID where it was actually two white guys that were challenging each other. And the court was so confused because the court was going like, who is Satoshi Nakamoto?
Which one?
Who is Satoshi Nakamoto between the two of you?
Hang on a second. Two white guys were claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto?
Exactly.
None of them was Japanese?
Exactly. That's why the smallest unit of Bitcoin is known as a Satoshi.
Okay, didn't the judge just stand up and say, I don't mean to judge here, but...
Remember,
I don't see any Satoshi.
This is a civil court case.
Yeah,
it was a civil court case. So the court itself was like saying, "Okay, now debate."
Okay, please go.
Prove your sides, because literally that's what I've seen. What American courts do, they allow the two parties to duke it out in front of the judge. The judge has to see who's putting up the best case or the best defense.
How do you even make a judgment in that? Because what features are you looking for? Because if you just listen to the name itself, anyone can assume any identity over the internet. I get that part.
Yeah. At the heart of this was obviously at the stage where, the stablecoin discussion was coming out before COVID.
Yeah.
And this court case popped off in COVID or after COVID 2021. And it was just comic. It was a comical situation. I read one article. I was like, nah, man. These guys can go. But at the heart of this, the Bitcoin inventor, the anonymous name that is used by the creators of crypto, of Bitcoin, designed the cryptocurrency with a cap to the limit. So, like I explained to you, X amount of Bitcoin and X amount of Satoshi is being produced every day, every minute. Now, new Bitcoins are added to the Bitcoin supply, meaning what is in circulation on the internet, approximately.
So the same way that we do with physical coins and paper.
Exactly.
So it's circulation.
Exactly. But here's the thing. The central
bank. And then it's printed. And exactly. Then it's, you know, it's ground up and to maintain the supply.
It's sent to the commercial banks. The commercial banks then distribute. But you are looking at a regulated process.
Yeah.
Here, you are using multiple computers on the internet. And said particular multiple computers have to log on to the same particular platform, which has been the most scam-infested, scam-riddled
environment.
No, I'm not even there. I'm going to add another adjective or another particular, you know, PG-13 explainer. Scam-infested, scam-riddled, scam-heavy landscape on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen such levels of scam language. Invest in day two with me and I will give you X amount or you can see immediate return. You go like, bruh. Do you know that you sound like a scammer?
You have no idea how many people fall for that. That's the problem.
I was this close to sending money to a guy in New York just to be trained on how to press a button.
What button?
Because he was a pro Ethereum, he was an Ethereum trainer. He was trying to train people how to leverage the Ethereum blockchain technology in order to generate or mine Ethereum coin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go see the guy. Then he slips in here with a, but if you sign on today, you get these things. And I was like, yeah. There we go.
Look now. I think, part of being very indecisive, which is, I think, it's a natural tendency for every overthinker. And, that's when you begin to, when you start asking more questions to the point where it's kind of difficult for you to make an instant decision. And, there are two things. It's not that I don't believe in this whole, I don't believe that there are real, cryptocurrency, trainers out there. They are. But the thing is, like, you just put it in that very colorful and heavy, heavy explanation of, with regards to scamming that takes place in that sphere. There are more scammers than there are genuine trainers. To the point that means you are most likely going, chances of you running into, let me put it in a ratio. Mm. The running into a teacher to running into a scammer ratio are very high. When it comes to running into a scammer.
So that's what the technology does.
Oh.
Do you see what it does? Now, with Bitcoin, it was built in the reverse. When I say in the reverse, it's counting down, Helmut.
This is worse than fiat money.
Yeah. So what happens is there's 21 million Bitcoin that can only be produced in its lifespan. So it is busy counting down. So what is happening is that the computers or the code, the one code that is verifying the other code.
Yeah.
They are busy extracting the whole time from what is known. So if you're extracting, you're literally just taking from the same pool of 21 million Bitcoin, you're taking out. And remember, a Bitcoin is generated every 10 minutes. Bitcoin came out in 2008.
Okay, here's one thing. Okay, here's one thing I like. In the 1976 or 1972, when the Jamaican Accord came out, when they decided, you know what, we are not going to, let's shift from, let's shift from this direct, the direct backing of money versus the physical commodity like gold. You know, let's shift from that.
The gold standard.
Let's shift from that gold standard.
And then Namibians also misunderstood the gold standard when the governor,
explained,
we are going to introduce the gold standard to just have a fallback that supports the value of our currency.
Yeah, because of the instability of global economy.
Exactly. And nowhere did Gavagap say, we will start buying and trading in gold.
That would be a bad idea.
That's super bad idea.
How many of us have gold?
Not me. Not on my name.
I don't.
Do you have gold on your name?
Wrong question. I've never seen gold. Now, this is the thing. I think...
Not even a Rolex helmet.
Rolex? That's how broke I am.
It has gold in it.
My friends are also that broke. So
no, but you've never seen a Rolex.
I've seen it on TV. Okay, in that case, then I've seen gold.
Okay.
Because
Rolex puts gold in their watches and diamonds.
No. Once you begin to... look, diamonds are produced by planet Earth. It turns out, I looked up, what you said about gold. We don't know how that crepe is formed. Don't know if it's something that flew in from outer space.
It's an alien alloy. It's an alien metal. The gold also has a limit on it. That's the beauty of the thing. If you look at how gold is truly formed, gold literally was some rock flew here, smashed into Earth when Earth was busy forming, and it literally became a metal ore that is found everywhere on Earth.
So we can't duplicate it from the lab like we're doing with diamonds.
We cannot. Yeah, you cannot.
Now,
and the worst part is that where you find gold, you find copper, you find silver, you find platinum.
All you know, there's a planet floating somewhere in the cosmos, just full of gold. Now, 29 minutes left.
People will probably be now saying that we're standing with the biggest, the biggest lie on Earth.
I know.
I also didn't believe it until I saw it in engineering.
Yeah, let's take a quick break.
Shoprite, ota chapora uvara mirongonda tuna tano don tano zilipevika unawe ota tu chapora no hobisa mwambika oli tira zilimbali zo magazi kukutireka go right brand sunflower kodono mirongo hamano no hui no seno mirongo hui no hui okei jintano zo suka ontokere yo marathon ya napanawa kodora o mirongo hui nane no seno mirongo hui no hui zirikosi koka kheri gasepetemba nuvo ino shererewa Shoprite no ontano zilipevito vuru opu inekira aruhe imone Now on Pito Kusindana Ikuja ko Shoprite. Landa Kishimata Shukusa on Pink, Ponga on Mara wina, Pokaslepa koi, ituma ko WhatsApp, Fangwe ongoyom sindani, opinao, yweta y sindana esku keje. Oko Shoprite akoke.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back to a home run. We have 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. We're still on the subject that, baffles me. Money on its own baffles the heck out of me. Digital money, even worse. But what I've come to understand so far is that, Stable coins, just right by the name, is gaining momentum, especially when it comes to formalized trading or formalized implementation of financial transactions, because of a predictability in value.
Yes.
And it's also pegged to it's pegged to some to tangible products. Tangible goods like gold, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that's the language, that's the example they kept using, like, it's pegged to gold. And it's 1-to-1 with the US dollar.
Exactly. You are 100% on the right track, Helmut.
So.
But it is based on the premise.
It's a digital version of the US dollar.
No. Then it becomes a CBDC.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand the three.
Mm-hmm.
There is a crypto that is completely run by a private entity.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a stable coin, which is an agreement between a private entity and a central bank to come to an agreement. There must be an agreement. Because that's what I realized what happens on international trade markets. It is policies that govern the value of the thing.
Yeah. That
statement I just read to you about Bitcoin as a limit is a policy, Helmut. Anyone else can go and say, I now own the intellectual property of Bitcoin, and I thus make Bitcoin into infinity. There's an infinite supply. There's an infinite supply of Bitcoin. And then what happens to Bitcoin?
Isn't that like...
The value plummets from 124,000 in its value.
Yeah, to negatives.
To almost like 1 cent. Because now you're an oversupply. Now you're an oversupply. It's policies. Policies determine the value of the thing.
Okay, so hang on a second. It doesn't matter what type of exchange we come up with in terms of trading.
Yeah.
We are still bound by the very simple law of economics, demand and supply.
Not just demand and supply, not just this law of economics, also by in terms of what regulators or the inventor of the thing puts on it. Because remember, you can go and make a movie, Helmut, that could be deemed as a masterpiece for in artistic points of view.
Yeah.
I'm explaining now an NFT to you.
Yeah.
A masterpiece. And then the movie doesn't gain any traction. Meaning people don't understand what artistic expression you're trying to apply to the movie. They see it as a movie. They don't like it. And then 10 years down the line, Helmut, the movie is, because it's in digital format already, but what you did was you connected the movie itself to a, what is an NFT again? NFT is a, it's not a token. Is it a token? Yeah, NFT is a token. Non-fungible token. Yeah, it's a token. Which is a glorified, it's glorified art collection. It's glorified digital art collection. That's what NFTs are.
Oh.
So what you did is you took the movie, ne? It's in digital format, so it's in a code format, and you attached it as to a token. There's a representation. It has like a, it's like you picking up a rock now that has a photo on it, which identifies what this rock is.
Yeah.
And the next rock you pick up is a rock that shows you a sports picture. And another rock that you pick up somewhere else tells you that this is the code to a specific game that was developed in 2008.
Mm.
That's what NFTs technically are. It's tokens. Now, the movie at the start when you made it didn't have any value. But the moment you made the movie, you immediately attached it to a token so that when anyone sees it 10 years, 20 years down the line and they try to remember this particular movie that you made and they go like down memory lane, like, then the movie itself becomes an art piece because then it has a scarcity principle attached to it. It's one of its kind. The code cannot be duplicated because there's only one of this particular token code. And you sit with a wonderful sort of like little gold nugget 100 years later when you're sitting somewhere in an old age home, eating custard and jelly, not being able to eat any solids anymore. So then you sit with this particular thing. The policies are important, but the policies can also be warped. Now, when I say warped or weird, you sit with Ethereum and Bitcoin. The guy from Ethereum, the guy that invented Ethereum, he's got a Russian name, but he's one of those Russians that lived in America, but he's got a Russian name. He's like the guys from Google. two of the guys, they have Russian names as well, but they're technically Americans themselves. Cause,
so they have sort of like Eastern European names?
Yeah. No. The way the name is written looks Russian and sounds Russian when you pronounce it, but the guy has an American accent. So when you go look at the cryptocurrencies, the cryptocurrencies are controlled by a private entity.
They are unknown.
They are not. No, they are sometimes known, or it's the ambiguity like with Bitcoin. With Ethereum, you know who the inventor of the Ethereum is. The guy made the technology even public. That's why Ethereum's value is also slightly lower. But Ethereum led to so many other cryptocurrencies being born from Ethereum's particular technology platform. Hence the reason I told you it's the Honda-Toyota scenario. It's just you're developing the same thing, but you are patenting it in different scenarios.
Yeah.
The Bitcoin scenario, it works in reverse. Like I explained to you, the scarcity principle is working in reverse. There's only 21 million Bitcoin that can be mined. That already dictates to you, Helmut, why Bitcoin costs 124,000 on the global stock exchanges. Why it costs 20 million. That was its peak back in July.
Yeah.
That's why it cost 20 million at one stage in this year. No, not 20 million. 124,000. 100,000 is 2 million. 124 times 2? Yeah, it's 2.4, 2.8 million. Why it was 2.8 million in July. Not 20 million, sorry. Why it was 2.8 million in July. One Bitcoin. Because there's another thing associated to Bitcoin.
Oh dear.
In the policy, in the white document, the white paper of Bitcoin, there's something known as a halving. Do you know what a halving is, Helmut?
Like a splitting in half?
Yes, but a splitting in half of the remainder. So a halving...
Does that sound like a decomposition?
No, not
like breaking down.
No, no. Breaking down, yes, yeah. But not breaking down like decomposition.
Mm.
So halving, every year, whoever is in charge of Bitcoin announces the next halving. Imagine now you started with a whole piece.
So you have a 2 million in value today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is going to be a million, in value. And then a year of that, 500,000.
Well, it's, yes. Yeah. In a layman's particular, explainer. Because you started mining from a specific level.
Yeah.
And then up to a calendar point, meaning a year, it reaches a point which you have already excavated from the code or gotten from the code.
Yeah.
At that point, the announcement then comes in, this is what is left to be mined. And then it shoots up the price of Bitcoin. Let me announce it.
Okay, but if the price are shooting up, doesn't that like give what you have mined already even more value?
Exactly. So every time when stockbrokers expect the halving, they call it the halving.
Yeah.
Here's just a fast fact in terms of, because that's one of the reasons why I love Investopedia. You don't run to Wikipedia or any other, particular dictionary platform that goes through an elongated, they take you to Korejas, they bring you back down to Hobabas, and then you end up somewhere in Karasburg just because you wanted to go and see, Verniel Mall. They had to take you to all those directions. They mention here, Investopedia, after the 2024 halving, there are 29 more halvings to go until the final reward of one Satoshi is awarded if the halving rate remains at 4 years.
So it's not annually, it's every 4 years.
Yep. Well, from what I read, because I remember back in last year there was an event and then there was a specific event before that. So it obviously becomes smaller. How much is still left? And it keeps on increasing the price of Bitcoin. Now, your question was, what are the differences of the things? So there's a cryptocurrency, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
There is a stable currency, a stable coin, which is the central bank and a cryptocurrency code business. The business develops a cryptocurrency. but they approach the central bank and say, hey, listen, we want to make this thing as widely available as possible, and we need to peg it to the Namibian dollar. Then the central bank would go like, oh, okay, let's hear your proposal. How are we going to influence this thing? Is there going to be any undue influences? We don't want any particular sort of like exclusionary mechanisms kicking in terms of that will keep as many Namibians out of participating in financing or participating in the exchange of money. Because the one bad thing you don't want, Helmut, is a Dunkey Botswana car costs 30,000 Namibian dollars. But now you sit with an Ethereum and you want to pay for that Dunkey Botswana with that Ethereum coin.
Yeah.
Ne? But that Ethereum coin is valued at 150,000 Namibian dollars. Now, the moment you do that, you give that guy that Ethereum coin. The first thing that you've got to ask yourself is, how will the seller of that car receive the coin, the digital coin? And secondly, will they be able to exchange it in any other format?
Yeah.
Because the Bank of Namibia said explicitly, we do not recognize any transactions that are conducted in cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
The moment you do that, it's you and the seller, you buyer and seller, it's your baby.
Yeah, that's your issue.
It's your baby with its wash water there. The two of you sort out your differences there. So if you and I know that a liter of petrol is 20 Namibian dollars, and I come and pay for that 20 Namibian dollars value of a liter of petrol with a Bitcoin, which is 2.8 million worth, it immediately does this to the price of petrol. Because now what happens if you just insist on being paid in Bitcoin?
Ouch. So, in other words, it doesn't make business sense.
It doesn't make business sense. It doesn't even make commercial sense. It doesn't even make sense in the aspect of running a healthy economy. Because the Namibian government will straightforward they obviously have the power of the pen to just say, we will outlaw cryptocurrencies. They can outlaw cryptocurrencies. The central bank has not said that they outlaw cryptocurrencies. They just tell you, we don't recognize it. So don't expect us to honor any agreements between you and whoever. If you sit with a cryptocurrency, it is your baby. But just remember that if you're going to do business, and if you want to exchange a cryptocurrency to money, remember, we won't participate in it as a central bank, and we won't honor any particular responsibilities or obligations in a discussion of exchange of value and stuff like that. So, the last particular example is central bank digital currencies.
On the other side of the break, and I have two questions.
Yeah.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back to my, to a subject that makes me drunk. That's the subject of money. Home run with Helmut on Eagle FM. And why? The time is, we have 14 minutes to the hour of, 14 minutes to the hour of six now. One of the points that was frequently made when it comes to sort of like more like when it came to the announcement of of the legal backing that was put into place by the U.S. government, to provide as a a policy foundation for stable coins it helps make trading, especially cross-border payments, more like especially cross-border payments, more fluid in comparison to the system that they work on right now. And in its full implementation, it's going to significantly shorten the times that large payments, especially large cross-border payments, are conducted, by a whopping margin. So I found very interesting, today, how are commercial banks, take for example, when I'm buying something, if I buy something, something via Alibaba from China, how is that, how are the banks, the central banks in China and the central banks in Namibia communicating and conducting this exchange? Because I'm banking with a specific central bank in Namibia, and the institution that's selling me a product, or the individual that's selling me a product in China, is banking with a specific central bank in China. How is that, how is that exchange conducted right now? And how is he, financial, strategies, more like financial innovations like stablecoin, going to half that price? Well, half the time that these transactions are conducted.
Well, here's the thing, Hamoud. I'd actually want the central banks to each have digital currency versions.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to deal with a central bank. I don't want to deal with a stable coin. I don't want to deal with a cryptocurrency. I'd love the central bank digital currency format, the CBDC.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why? It's the same thinking. This thing is just an electric light and a,
just the pixels on your screen.
No, yeah, pixels on your screen. It's a light signal,
mm-hmm,
in the palm of your hand, and it represents the same value as the piece of paper or the piece of pressed metal.
The note that you have coin that you have in your pocket. Yeah.
In your pocket, it's the same thing. The only concern that obviously exists is how much in supply is there, and the infrastructure on the ground.
So we're back to supply and demand.
But the supply and demand impacted or facilitated by infrastructure. Because if everywhere you go, let's for example, say even if you now decide how much you're going to Divundu, nah, and you literally want to, you want to go chill out with the homies somewhere at a bar, mm-hmm, but the bar doesn't have a speed point, and you've got a digital wallet of your CBDC,
mm-hmm,
your Namibian dollar, on your phone, how are you going to pay for the service, for the beers?
Ouch.
You know, because that is ultimately the sci-fi movie level that we see how this is all migrating towards. And obviously the bar owner will tell you, I want cash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a light signal. Remember when you and I did the cashless society talk last year?
Yeah.
When I went to go watch a movie and I'm being told, no, sir, we don't have a till anymore. You need to swipe for your stuff.
They don't do cash.
And I stood there and I looked at, and I'm standing next to my date. I'm going like, what? Why am I?
Yep.
I don't want to swipe. I've got the money on me. No, sir, we can't take cash. We don't have tills. It needs to go directly into the bank account.
Yeah.
So that's the situation that I'm describing to you. Here's the scenario of you, of your Alipay or your Alibaba.
Yeah.
Transaction.
Yeah.
The downside is, Hamoud, the yuan, the Chinese currency, is not yet recognized as an international
trading currency.
An international trading currency. It's not like the euro. It's not like the Japanese yen. It's not like the US dollar. There's a fourth one. It's the dollar, the euro, the pound, and the pound. It's not like those four guys. Why?
I also have a question on that.
Well, because those guys technically, they're the ones that dispensed obviously most of the loans that the AU is finding an issue with. It's not my problem. It's really not our problem. If there's a whole bunch of African countries that go and ask for loans.
Emphasis on the, ask.
And then don't pay back.
Emphasis on ask.
They go and ask for loans.
Dwight, you're missing, thank you for making excellent point. this
because,
whole...
Because when I hear our president make a speech at an AU level, uh-huh. and other African leaders go and make a speech at AU levels uh-huh. about, yeah, these loans that are holding us back, and then you go in and just scratch a little bit. Why do you have loans? What did you ask the loan for? You were supposed to build a road, but then it ended up that a whole bunch of your ministers are now driving V12 Mercedes-Benz buggies uh-huh. and living luxuriously in Paris. So... Obviously,
how is that the IMF's fault
and the World Bank's fault? How is it their fault that you cannot control your fingers from not pilfering?
I have an example
from the state coffers.
I have an example. Let's bring it home now, shall we?
Of course, bring it home. Bring.
It's not Red Force's fault.
It's not Red Force's
no.
fault.
Now, look, well, I really wish Red Force paid me to say this, but just look at it from very simple terms.
Yeah.
They are calling you because they were hired by the person you owe money.
Yeah. Now, the person whose phone calls, you're not answering.
Exactly. Yelling at them is not gonna help
it. Because they're just doing their job. It's basic diplomacy.
The day you and I will owe people money, we are screwed.
Oh, I already owe people money, but...
Oh, dear.
But...
Someone is submitting your name. This guy.
But at the heart of it, Helmut, you are right. What is the worst example that you and I know on record right now today? Mozambique.
Yep.
What did they do? They thought it was money on tap. It was money free without conditions. But someone had to go and sign for those conditions, uh-huh. then. And who was it? Their finance minister. The money comes. Now you're hearing when you look at the aftermath of the situation of what was discovered.
Yeah.
The president's son is driving 5 new cars and living in a palace somewhere in Maputo. A whole bunch of other people that had nothing to do with the money had fingers in the money, had fingers in the pot. They were literally, their fingers were in the cookie jar.
Look, this is one of those things that make me say that, Bretton Woods institutions, the disease, or are they the symptoms? Because if you look at it, for the most part, they are more, if you ask me, they are more of the symptoms than, because the disease is here.
They are supposed to be the antibiotic, Helmut.
The
medication.
Okay, look, the thing is, that makes sense.
The Bretton Woods guys.
Let's go with your medication example.
Yeah. Now, they are supposed to be the medication to the undeveloped flu that we are sitting with.
So.
Not that the flu is not undeveloped. The flu is undevelopment or non-development. That's what they were, Hamlet. Remember from the Marshall Plan that the Americans extended to Europe and to Japan?
Yeah.
The Bretton Woods guys were obviously from League of Nations legacy.
Yeah.
They were just resuscitated and they were just said, hey, listen, so now American banks, European banks are going to be the lenders through this vehicle.
Yeah.
They're going to be the lenders. Hence the reason why you either have to trade in euro, you either have to trade in yen, you either have to trade in dollar, or you either have to trade in pound.
Now, I have one last question for the last 5 minutes that we have. What does this mean? This is the same question that I ask when it comes to military technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does the development of hypersonic missiles mean for dogfights? Because if you can...
Dogfights meaning between
fighter jets.
Fighter jets.
Yeah, because if you have 2 fighter jets that are equipped with hypersonic missiles, any type of countermeasures that fighter jet is equipped with, it's going to be useless if you are dealing with hypersonic missiles. And that means you are just, you'll be flying a multi-million-dollar jet.
Yeah.
That you know it's 90% of the, there are 90% chances it's going to be blown up.
Yeah.
Because that thing is freakishly fast.
Yeah.
So does that mean, the end of the production of fighter jets?
But what is that hypersonic missile coupled with? You know, just outflying, just trying to catch the target is not sufficient enough. Do you know what it's coupled with?
What is that?
It's coupled with radar locking technology. Meaning the plane that shot the hypersonic missile guides the missile. So as long as you're looking at the target, the missile is guided. Hence the reason why you've got all those satellites in space. But then they had to go an extra level.
By the time you blink,
yeah,
you're up in flames.
Yeah, but remember, you're also in a fighter jet. You're also in a fighter jet. Your fighter jet is trying to outrun the missile.
Okay, they can't run. Now, fighter jets are supersonic.
Yeah.
And they have missiles.
That are trying to catch a supersonic target.
Yeah, and now you have the new development of hypersonic missiles. That means...
Faster than the target.
Faster than the target. Exactly. Like way faster than the target.
Now, here's the concern. You as a human,
yeah,
you have your blood in your veins.
Oh.
And you, that this flesh and bone human, mm-hmm, you can only move so fast.
G-force.
Through time and space.
Yeah.
So otherwise, we come up with sci-fi technologies in terms of you warp speeding somewhere to outrun that hypersonic missile. The downside is, Hamoud, it's one of the reasons why the Eurofighter was designed in reverse.
No.
It's the slowest fighter jet on the planet. Oh, it's one of the slowest. But it was so that you can maneuver.
So it's maneuverability.
Yes, you increase maneuverability. And obviously, you arm the fighter jet with defensive mechanisms like... what's the thing's name?
The flares.
Why? Because in most fighters, on most missiles, it has heat-seeking technology, not just the radar.
So that's a way of confusing it.
Yeah. Because the heat-seeking technology is the obvious technology used to shoot down the fighter jet, because the fighter jet generates so much heat in its engine.
Yeah.
That it's the obvious target that the missile has to trace automatically.
Hang on a second. That heat-seeking missile doesn't happen to, you know, to pick up a signature of a cigarette, does it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, thank God.
It goes for very strong...
large signatures.
Very strong, large signatures. And obviously, they combine various technologies into the missile head itself. Yeah. The obvious scenario is just, how many times have you actually seen a dogfight? A fighter jet dogfight.
Minus in, Top Gear, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
The reason why I took that detour is this digitization of money. What does that mean for means?
Means in terms of?
Distribution. Money printing machines. Money printing institutions.
Wow.
And also the ownership in terms of producing your own currency. We know that there are not a lot of countries that print their own money.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and we definitely don't.
We don't?
Yeah, we definitely don't.
Why don't we print our money, Helmut?
Uh-huh.
I just explained who are the only currencies that can print.
So that means the very same people that the very same currencies that have global dominance in terms of
international trade. Yeah.
Are they also the same guys that are going to issue the digital versions of it when it comes into full implementations?
And remember, you can only issue on the value of your economy. You cannot add an additional value.
You're going to end up with some serious inflation. Yeah,
you're going to start with the Weimar Republic's issue.
You need a wheelbarrow to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah. So Namibia can do the CBDC scenario, but the Bank of Namibia will obviously work with a jigsaw puzzle of an algebraic equation in terms of, are we lessening supply of money in the Namibian economy? To whose benefit? To whose detriment? What would be the ultimate goal that we want to see? Because the ultimate goal of the central bank is that they want money to touch every corner of Namibia.
Yeah. And that money must be equal to the products in supply.
Yeah. But
products and services, yeah.
But if there is no power line that NamPower has put up in a certain vicinity, that light signal becomes useless. Like the Divundu example I explained to you.
Electrification.
You show up from Windhoek here with that digital wallet of the Namibian dollar on your phone, and the bartender then, Divundu, tells you, bra, I want cash. I don't want this light signal situation. They'll say, I want cash. So it's a question of the modernization level, the modernization direction. How do we wish to achieve it? What do we do? The unfortunate thing is, until other currencies, other countries, and other areas can convince the template, that it's worth the effort, sure. If not, let's cut down some more trees in order to print some more money and keep the situation going.
Let's cut down some more trees.
No, I'm all for that part.
Okay, but isn't like the fiat money that I keep confusing, you know, especially the coins, don't they have like a process somewhere where the access is shredded?
Yeah. That's certain money, the actual money note has a serial number.
Yeah.
They are allowed in circulation for a certain time.
For a period of time?
Yep. Until the paper becomes fragile,
mm.
then the central bank has to replace the said value with a similar value back in, meaning they print a fresh batch,
yeah.
they take out the old batch, and you keep the supply going of equal value. So what you take out, you have to put back of equal value. So if you're going to replace, because durability aspects has now been exhausted, you put back the same value.
Yeah, but I still pity for you know for companies and all the people that have the intellectual properties and machines that print money.
Because no, they are expert printers, Hamoud.
Yeah, they are expert printers, but
They are not your copy shop printer around the corner.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Donkerhoek.
But digitization seems to be slowly threatening their business.
Not really.
Really?
You can incorporate the digitization on a physical bank note.
I mean,
we brought out a waterproof note just 2 years back.
Yeah, I know.
How many people did you really think, how many people do you know, Helmut, that literally took that $13 million and went and put it in the shower? Let's see you get wet, my guy. Let's see the ink wash off.
I mean, for a country that's always, in a drought, I mean, that's just being paranoid.
He says it's the worst experiment to run.
The worst experiment to run. We're 3 minutes into the hour of six. We are going to basically park the bus here for Home Run and hand it over to a business and economic segment, albeit today with FNB financially included.
On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your programming in our company, and we'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place.
Amen.
Okay, we are now joined by Osha Mukoro, a alternative channel product analyst at FNB Namibia. Osha, thank you very much for making time for us this evening. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. I'm doing very well, thanks, Andy.
Yes, and so today we're here to talk about financial inclusion, as we usually do here on Financially Included, brought to you by FNB Namibia. Let's start with an introduction of yourself and your role at FNB Namibia.
Yeah, my name is Osha Moruko, for those that didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. Born and bred in Bintuk. And I'm part of the FNB commercial team, really responsible for overseeing our CashPass agent network.
Mm-hmm.
And our role really just involves in supporting agents, ensuring that they provide quality service and expanding our access to financial services across the country,
mm-hmm.
and especially in the underserved communities.
Excellent, excellent. So speaking of financial inclusion, when you hear that phrase, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so financial inclusion really, in essence, really means ensuring that. And I would like to put it more in the Namibian context.
Yeah,
it's really about, regardless of location, income level, and where you're from, that you have access to essential financial services.
Mm-hmm.
So with this said, it's really about empowering people to participate in the broader and the greater economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and really improving their livelihoods and building a better future. And really at FNB, this is just not it's not a goal, but it's a guiding principle that we live by.
Yeah. And so let's now get into the CashPlus service itself. Please explain what it is to the listeners and how can they themselves become CashPlus agents?
So yeah, no. CashPlus really is a solution that provides banking services to areas where we have no banking presence.
Mm-hmm.
So banking presence such as normal brick and mortar infrastructure such as ATM and branches. So, and it really allows customers to be able to deposit and withdraw cash, but also allowing them to withdraw from their wallet and being able to also buy airtime and electricity,
yeah.
and without needing to visit a branch or an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with this said, to become a CashPlus agent is actually quite simple. And all you need is to have, you need to have an existing FNB business account.
Mm-hmm.
You need to at least have your business should have at least been operational for, for a year. So the likes of a sole prop, a CC.
Yeah.
And it has really become easier now to become an agent because you can just apply via our banking app and then our consultants will engage it so that you can open your Cash Plus account.
So essentially Cash Plus is, basically bringing financial services to communities where they may not be, your traditional banking facility.
Yes.
Okay. And so last week we spoke to one of the agents. His name was Simpson Philippus. He stated that when he became a Cash Plus agent, one of the requirements was owning it had to be a retail store specifically, and it had to be operational for at least 1 year. Is that still the case today?
So essentially, yes. So, but then of course the nature of that retail store is very different. It doesn't mm-hmm. need to be the likes of a ShopRite, a Spar, or a Checkers, but it can mm-hmm. be a tuck shop, a mini retail store, a service station.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be that tuck shop or that meme that is sitting at a corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it can really be anyone as long as they have an existing F&B account, business account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, and what's critical here is that as long as an established presence within the community and the infrastructure to support these transactions.
Yeah. So it's basically if you're selling something under a legitimate business, you are eligible.
Exactly.
Okay.
And maybe just to add on to that, so we also undergo a vetting process. So we mm-hmm. just don't really go through before we onboard any agent as well. So,
Do you know about how long that process takes? Like from the moment I register on the app to the moment I'm approved, approximately how long?
It's pretty fast. It can probably take a day or two. It shouldn't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a day or two before you can be onboarded in as an agent.
Excellent. So in your view, how impactful has the Cash Plus service been in fostering financial inclusion?
So, and I would really say this solution for F&B has really been, Cash Plus has really been the main driver of financial inclusion.
Yeah.
So it has really been transformative in really changing lives and communities.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing banking services closer to rural areas and these remote areas where we really don't have presence,
mm-hmm.
and really saving time for customers from traveling long distances and really saving money to really just access simple financial stuff, being able to withdraw and deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has really greatly contributed to financial inclusion as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been really seeing is that we've really been seeing great adoption in terms of this channel. And essentially just due to the turnover that we've been seeing, plus 150 million turnover that we've been seeing across the channel.
Yeah. No, that's excellent. And as someone who works closely with the agents, what are some common trends you have noticed from, especially those that have recently become agents? What are some common themes, I guess you could say?
So maybe just to emphasize, it's a partnership. So with mm-hmm. these agents, it's a real partnership. So what we've really seen is that these businesses have grown exponentially, expanded to more locations, but not only that, these agents have had more increased sales, more traffic coming to their business, but also it has also built trust among the community with financial services.
Yeah.
And not only that, an additional income stream, which is quite an advantage. And I think that's really why we're having a lot of more and more agents coming on board.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a revenue stream in the form of a commission.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been really become trusted financial service providers within their community.
Yeah.
And mainly just based on the brand that the reputable brand that they associated with. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Simpson echoed those exact same sentiments last week, saying that he's, become a very important part in his community in Vanaheda since he's been a Cash Plus agent. So, in your view, why is it important for institutions such as F&B Namibia to provide customers with services that increase that level of financial inclusion, not only in communities, but the country at large?
So, it's really essential. And I think, F&B has really become a great player in this because,
mm-hmm.
Financial inclusion drives economic growth, right? And it reduces poverty and promotes social equity. So really, we're really seeing the inequality gap. The aim is to improve the inequality gap
mm-hmm.
within Namibia. So, and offering these services really just bridges that gap between the formal banking and the underserved communities. So really enabling more people to be part of the financial ecosystem,
yeah.
and allowing them to really grow their own businesses, improve their livelihoods. And this not only allows them to maybe just save more, these businesses to save more, invest more, and really just expand their businesses.
Yeah.
And improve livelihoods right across the country.
100%. And you mentioned earlier about the 150 million threshold that the Cash Plus has reached. Do you know approximately how many people or businesses are now making use of Cash Plus in Namibia?
So currently now we have over 378 Cash Plus agents.
Okay.
Right across the country. So mm-hmm. if you really see the reach that it's seeing from a turnover point of view, is that
so
we're 378 agents serving almost the majority of the market share in Namibia's F&B,
mm-hmm.
and it also serves the non-F&B customers.
So
really reached the underserved communities, because as we see now, is non-F&B customers can also withdraw from their wallet
mm-hmm.
and make a deposit. So we're really seeing that through this network of 378 Cash Plus agent, it has really reached majority of the Namibians right across the country.
Yeah, no, and speaking to Simpson, he was explaining to us how, you know, sometimes at his shop, the line is, especially end of the month, the line is nonstop from 8 to 8. So, you know, that's one person probably serving, who knows, probably like 200 people in a day or so. So the listeners can visualize how many people are served by these 378 agents. And also, when you spoke to Simpson, he clarified a misconception about the whole Cash Plus service and being an agent, because many people are under the impression that the bank gives these business holders like a monthly sum of money to disperse to the community, which Simpson explained is not the case. Are there any other misconceptions or things that people might not understand about Cash Plus that you would like to clear up today?
Yeah, and I think maybe another misconception is that only F&B customers can use Cash Plus.
Mm-hmm. So
it's really open to the broader communities. We allow non-F&B customers to really withdraw from their wallets and also and come in deposits, and that it's all done via our app. So these Cash Plus agents facilitate all these transactions via the F&B banking app,
mm-hmm.
and it's a secure platform. So I think those are just the misconceptions
and I think that the fact that non-F&B customers can make use of it also just emphasizes the point that it's not necessarily about F&B, but really about fostering financial inclusion, which I think is excellent. And for business owners out there who are currently not Cash Plus agents,
USafe prices on groceries are still the best in town. 4 kilos of Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 84 grams of Robertson's chicken spice, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr soup of all variants, just 5.99 Namibian dollars each. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Wright brand sunflower oil, just 68.99 Namibian dollars. And 2 kilogram bag of Pasta King elbow pasta, just 44.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at USafe.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, for business owners out there who are currently not Cash Plus agents, what would you say are the advantages of becoming a Cash Plus agent?
So I think the major benefit is that you don't only become a community hero, but you end up solving community problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's quite key. But not only that, from a business point of view, you are ensured that your business will grow, you'll increase traffic within your stores, and this means increased sales,
mm-hmm.
but also an additional revenue stream from the commission you earn based on the transactions that you do facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, from this also we're seeing is that is enhanced community reputation, because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as a trusted service provider. So you are our presence in areas where there's no ATM or branch. So it's really this trust that you will build within these communities and this ecosystem that you're creating
mm-hmm.
for your communities. So, and then within that, F&B really supports these agents along the way, right? So you are supported in the form of, from a branding point of view, you're supported me from a training point of view, really trained, and where the financial space is really going into, which is quite critical, is that we support them from just normal compliance. So getting to know what is anti-money laundering, how to treat customers fairly, and really anti-bribery. So those are the key things that we really bring on this service that we provide these agents.
So basically, once you become an agent, you are not only are you earning revenue, but you're learning other skills that will help you in your overall entrepreneurship journey as well.
Indeed.
And in your time now, since you've been working with the Cash Plus agents, what has been one of your favorite, whether it's a story or a particular journey that you've encountered from an agent?
Yeah, so I think one of the key ones, and you see it right across, is that, and what usually stands out is how these businesses actually grow. And in rural areas, what you see that from a small shop, they really became the main banking point for the village, for example. And what we started to see as well here is that some of these customers and these individuals within these villages have not seen the inside of a branch or an ATM because the point of access is these Cash Plus agent.
Yeah.
And from that, what we see is really them reaching in different locations, expanding to more communities. And then through this growth, it's really expanding their livelihoods. And what we really they take children through school.
Yeah.
They have additional, they create employment. So they have additional cashiers that come on board. So this is really what we've been seeing with the product and with the solution. Yeah. It's really transformed lives and impacted communities greatly.
100%. That's great to hear. And now my last two questions for you. The first one is about this global policy forum that's coming up in Swakopmund from the 2nd to the 5th of September. What are some, what are you looking forward to? What are some outcomes you're looking forward to from this forum that Namibia is hosting for the first time?
I think it's really just, it's showing the world where we are as Namibia and what are we aiming to do from a financial inclusion point of view. And I think that's the main thing. And we're really seeing ourselves and selling ourselves as a country that we're really here to change livelihoods, to create access to communities and empower communities. So that's really the main outcomes. But also to hear from the stories that are out there in terms of what other countries are also part of and what are they involved in. And but it's really more just to also just create awareness of the solutions that are out there.
100%. Now, speaking of solutions, when we spoke to Nesta De Jong, head of SME banking at FNB, he really emphasized on the importance of digitalization in the whole financial inclusion. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the importance of digitalization in financial inclusion, the relationship between the two.
Yeah, no, so I think, thanks, Annette, for this question. I think digitalization, I think, has really changed and has really transformed. And I think, as FNB, we're really championing in this alley. And so what we really see with digitalization is really bridging the gap.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, and what I've emphasized today is really creating that access to communities where there is no reach. And I think digitalization really bridges that gap and reaching communities where there is no presence, you know. So I really think this is really a key thing, and I see it's a journey that we're all going through, and I think we're all getting used to it with the new technologies that are there. I don't even want to consider it as a new technology anymore. It's actually part of our lives.
Yeah. So
AI.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, so I think digitalization has really come and it's going to stay and it's really going to be transformable. So, yeah.
100%. Osha, is there any last words you'd like to leave with the listeners before I let you go this evening?
Yeah, no. So, please reach out if you want to become a Cash Plus agent. Please join us at our conference, our financial inclusion conference in Swakopmund. It will really be a great experience, great opportunities. Yeah. Thank you.
Is there a number, anything people can call to become Cash Plus agents, or is it online somewhere they can find it?
So to become a Cash Plus agent, you can find it on our app. You can apply to become a Cash Plus agent via our app. It's all accessible via the app.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thanks, Hendrik. Thanks for the opportunity.
You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Welcome back to Financially Included, where money meets access. That was our conversation with none other than Mr. Osha from FNB Namibia, giving us some further insight into the FNB Cash Plus service. Gentlemen, what do you think about what Osha had to tell us today?
Well, it sounds to the question that you asked at the start in terms of what is the idea that we have of financial inclusion.
Yeah.
It literally tries to achieve that particular mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Like I also explained, it's a mechanism. It's the way of trying to make the money spread as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bank of Namibia themselves highlighted in that small graphic I had just a few minutes up now here in front of me that if you had to go look at rural urban spread in terms of who has got access to money, meaning availability components,
mm-hmm.
is usually the rural area guys struggle the most to gain access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Urban guys have greatest access to it. This is obviously based upon the comment that I also made a little bit earlier in the home run session, where if you had to look at Namibia's particularly unique development issues, these are things that are, you know, unique to Namibia, like people would be living too far off from where you would have electricity or where you would have ATMs and certain particular things. So even the malnutrition example I gave a little bit earlier
mm-hmm.
about accessibility to food means you can see the food in the shop. It's just, do you have the money to buy that?
Of getting it.
Yeah. Did you guys know about this Cash Plus service before this conversation today?
Not me.
I'm not sure if you guys were tuned in last week for this one.
Not me either.
Yeah, this... Doing the show is my first time learning about this service as well, and I'm quite...
You're an F&B user as well, right?
Yeah, I am.
You also as well?
Yeah.
I think... I'm not.
Usually just log in the app and out. And
yeah, that's what they've been saying, that, you know, the app is... it's so normal to us,
yeah.
But it actually gives you a lot of financial services at the tips of your fingers. And, I mean, the fact that, to me, the most remarkable part is the fact that you don't even need data really to use the app.
Yeah.
And before I knew that, I used the app before without data, and I thought I just got lucky, you know, that the stuff went through. But it's actually a service that they've done intentionally, that you don't need data to access all these financial services.
Don't get cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to send an e-wallet, you want to make a payment or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't need to be connected to Wi-Fi. You don't need to have data bundles on your phone.
Yeah.
You still access the services, as long as your phone is on, obviously.
Yeah. Talk about convenience.
Exactly.
No, it is. No, it really is, Ahmed, because here's the thing. Obviously, a commercial bank identifies that they are there to help move the money through their ATMs, through their services, and so forth. The second scenario would obviously just be for you, that you, the user, how are you going to utilize what they're putting closer to you?
Exactly.
Now, obviously, the downside now becomes an if you must now someone that is not close to money. I mean, we can all do a basic example here in studio. When was the first time you were told by your parents, HD, mm-hmm. that you can go and withdraw money? They gave you the bank card and said, go and withdraw money.
Sure, I can't remember that exactly, but I know I was very young.
Like how young? I also don't remember it, but I was like just between 12 and 13.
What grade is that? Like
six, seven?
Grade 12. I might have been even younger, honestly speaking.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah. My mom literally said, go and I will show you now how to withdraw money.
No, I don't have, I don't have to remember because it never happened.
So you were taught the moment you got your first bank account, you were taught there by the ATM, by the clerks, the bank clerks.
I had to, Google the heck out of everything. The very simple way that I look at it is that the reason why, one thing I like about human beings is that we are lazy. Yeah. And that laziness is the, you know, is one thing that wants, you know, that makes us seek convenience. Mm-hmm. And that, with that then comes, not just the curiosity, but also a very easy way of doing things.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, it's safe to say that now why we have all these digital payment systems, and that's where we have achieved the level of take for example security. Like one convenience of of electronic banking that that I like to look at is that I don't have to walk around with a stack of cash in my pocket.
Yeah.
So that way, then if I get jumped by a bunch of homies from some locations I won't mention, the only thing they will find in my in my wallet is maybe just a few notes, but the rest of what my life depends on isn't is secure behind some code.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, sorry. Good evening or afternoon, please.
Yes, what would you like to contribute to the program today?
Yes, thank you very much for our support member. For coming and bringing the inclusion, I think we brought some kind of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I even discovered that the two young gentlemen there, they just from the first in their preamble, they just got us. They opened the line while they were waiting for you.
Yeah.
So last time you were also talking about financial inclusion, and they have been speaking about financial inclusion so many times.
Yeah.
Those two young men there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that the FNB, Mr. Muloko, is it Muloko? Mukolo.
Muroko.
So I wrote, this is Muroko. Muroko. Must be K-O. So for coming and giving us those kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the linkage between what we are hearing on this national youth funding scheme of 240 million. That funding, is it also somehow linked to this financial inclusion that you're talking about? And I think both Helmut and Dwight, they actually gave a good definition and explanation there.
Yeah.
Which have got similar elements.
Uh-huh.
Especially when it comes to, you are saying the cash up agent.
Cash plus.
I mean cash plus. Cash plus agent.
Uh-huh.
So meaning that these are agents that will be representing FNB in terms of service provision in the community?
In a way, yeah. So, in a way, yes, but it's, you're working on your own?
Yes. I'm working on my own. I should have established a company like this requirement that you have just mentioned.
Yeah.
I should have an account of how many UIs or whatever, but I heard that it depends. Where we were told that you also, when it comes down to operation, because you might not have a tech shop there,
mm-hmm.
Which is obviously serving the community. Because in the community, in the, most of the community, the rural area, even in Katutura, the informal settlement,
mm-hmm.
those people are depending on tech shop.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is because most of them, they sell only alcohol, no bread, elbows.
Yeah.
Is that not so?
you are 100% right, Uncle Bona. You are right on the head. You are making the point. Yeah, but regardless of what they sell, they can still become cash plus agents.
Wait. We want to discourage people so that they can go to something. Because they cannot sponsor you much when you are just investing in alcohol.
That is true. No, you are right.
Because most of the suicide and the violence or gender-based violence and all this confusion that we are seeing is because of this alcohol. So now you now get people to get this, what is it, cash plus, what facilities and all these other things. And these are the agents, I understand. We at least want people who can say yes. This particular person, he or she wants to have a dwelling in the community. And because of the collateral security, even this loan that I'm hearing ahead, there's no collateral security as a requirement. So this cash agent that are there, cash plus agent, they should be to solve this problem, I mean, this service that Elmut was talking about. Mm-hmm. This could just be maybe an enabler, like we're talking about technological, what, financial accession, technologically finance or whatever, inclusion.
Digitalization.
So all those things, we don't want people to be trapped in debt that they cannot even service.
Yeah, but
As an agent, I believe this is the agent that we also represent the vulnerable community members down there.
Mm-hmm.
Who might even have access, even this funding that they are talking about, because of your help there. Oh, for you, you are Eagle FM anyway. So the money has gone for NBC. So, I mean, from FMB, Mr. Muroko is gone. But what I thought is that if I have to become an agent and somebody has to become an agent, it's because that person is basically squarely representing himself and FNB. The management style, the accounting, whatever, all those financial, what, literacy. Is it financial literacy that you people always talk about?
Mm-hmm.
So they should provide.
And they
will now see that the cost of running to the town and things like that. So even those Rwakanas, Okongo, when you go there, FNB is not there.
You are right, Uncle Bona.
That's the purpose of the Cash Plus, is to provide financial services.
I saw it last week, Uncle Bona. You are right, Uncle Bona.
These people are not serious, man. So now you go there, there used to be a mobile kind of, at least, honestly speaking, these people are not serious. They say cash plus what agent. You go to the Congo now, there.
Mm.
Do you all maybe Gureguru, the Kavango West?
Mm.
I know, as I said, they are just coming up. Are they there?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Okay, no problem. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that and congratulate you for disseminating this kind of information.
Thank you once again, Uncle Bona. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Yes, if you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And as the caller was alluding to, or perhaps had some misconception about the Cash Plus service, that's the problem he identified. That's exactly why the service exists, is to bring financial services to those areas, to the communities where your traditional bank facility might not exist. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Well, I thought I had high hopes of myself becoming an agent until I went and looked at who are the agents so far. They are all established business entities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was covered in your first episode of when the Cash Plus engagement began. So I agree partially with Uncle Bona, and I also agree with, you know, what the initiative of Cash Plus tries to do, mm-hmm. you know, the inclusivity aspect, get the money to as many people as possible. Obviously, this is based upon how are you interacting?
Yeah.
In what role are you interacting? If it's now like what Uncle Bona cited in terms of the youth grant, I keep forgetting that scenario because I was no longer youth. Helmut, you're still, Hende, you are still youth. I was no longer youth. So I can't think of or pay attention to something mm-hmm. if I'm no longer in that age demographic.
Yeah.
So the scenario from there would be one about applying to the financing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the agents on even the FNB app itself or the FNB website, which I just Google searched, it's all established businesses. So this means if you're now saying, listen, I can't walk into the interview with Mukoro, the gentleman's
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
The interview with Mukoro that you had.
Muroko, sorry.
The interview with Muroko. You cited one particular question, long queues at specific times of the month.
Yeah.
Which we've all been trying to avoid in Namibia.
Yeah.
But imagine that queue gets broken up into multiple dimensions. You had the FNB ATM here with its long line. Now imagine the two businesses next to the ATM can now assist you.
Yeah.
Now instead of you waiting here in this long queue, you can just say, ah, you know what? Let me quickly walk into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask them, are you an agent? They say, yes, here we go. Please, I'd like this cash. So far, there you go.
Finishing klaar.
You go, get back on your way. Because the one thing I realized, guys, is that people really want to spend their time useful somewhere else. They don't have time to stand in a queue.
Exactly.
Look, they have time paying for something in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And we might get to the scenario which will be scary because the cashier, that would mean that the role of the cashier would probably become threatened in some way. But people.
A cashier in a bank?
No, cashier in a shop.
Cashier
in a retailer.
Yeah.
Because the cashier in the retailer is sort of like that human element that we have to interact with the shop. You know, it's what they call, keeping it still human. And I kid you not, guys. Like this week, where
we
people
don't look at it as you know, from a psychological point of view, like the interaction, do we?
No, we don't. In Africa, we don't. However, in the context of the future of jobs that you and I did at the start of the year,
yeah,
the cashier is one of the jobs that will be under threat by AI or automation in some format. You know, you preload on a card, like a gift card or a shopping card, and you go, you've got that balance, you just swipe the balance off.
Mm.
Which also negates the aspect in terms of why you have a debit card. Because many people will say, but then I'd like to control my finances with my debit card. Because then the retailer then goes like, okay, I still need to pay then for cashiers. So it'll be one of those scenarios. Many people just want to get through how quickly a cashier can finish up with one client. Obviously, it's based upon if the client knows that they've got the right amount of money on them sometimes or not. You know, things happen. But yeah, it's literally about the accessibility of the service. And Namibians don't want to spend time in a queue at an ATM.
Yeah, for example, I mean, last week when we had Simpson on, he owns a retail shop in the heart of Vanaheda.
Yeah.
So now imagine you're a resident in that community. You have to take the time to, whether it's drive or take a cab to your nearest F&B branch, which is, I don't know, maybe in town. From Vanaheda?
No, I think there's one from Vanaheda. Vanaheda, you would find it at Black Chain, an F&B there. I saw that F&B. It's a nightmare.
Okay, regardless, even if that.
No, you have one at the side of, you have one at Vurman, by the side of.
So the Vurman is closer?
The side of.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
The side of Vanaheda police station.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, you have to travel to the branch.
Once you get to that branch,
you're still standing.
May take your money. Yeah, I mean, just say.
You're still standing in line for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Whereas, instead of doing all that, you just visit your nearest Cash Plus agent, in this case, Simpson, who will maybe, you know, save you an hour or two, maybe even 3 hours.
And
of time.
And probably safety.
Maybe that as well.
It would also help you with safety.
Yeah.
Simple. So,
and I mean, in Vincent's scenario, they probably would also be like
Simpson.
sorry, guys. There would probably also be like three other agents in close proximity.
Yeah.
Which, because that drop down list was a long list. Obviously where we are, Windhoek East-ish. Windhoek East, the Windhoek East constituency. I recognize like 3-4 businesses here close to our studio.
Yeah.
That are Cash Plus agents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a butchery here. I think this checker's close to us. I think one of the service stations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was pretty easy. It was pretty quick to say, oh wow. And like I told you guys, I thought I could like sign up, you know, as a just me person being financially included in this scenario, try to test out the application or the function. And it literally says you must be a retailer.
Okay, so
you must be an establishment.
The beautiful part of it is you get to roll shopping and withdrawing into one. I think this brings me back to the convenience part, because for one, you can, especially when you are working under time constraints, because now you have to stand in the queue to go and withdraw or deposit whatever you want to do at the ATM, and then go and stand in another queue to buy whatever it is that you want to buy in a grocery store or a clothing store, for example.
Exactly.
This is one of those services that makes it more convenient for you to just get one out of the way so that you don't have to tell your boss that you were sick the previous day. Not the whole day you were stuck with,
And I mean, Dwight just highlighted the agents that are around us here in our Climb Into Studio. You guys see the line at the ATMs here. At certain times of the day.
H, that line there.
It's also the line you stand in the mood.
Oh, yeah, that.
Exactly. So now, you know, with this service, you get to skip that whole line.
Honestly, that's why I don't like ATMs in the beginning. I mean, at the beginning of the month. What I do is a few days. 2 or 3 days before month end, I withdraw enough money, transport money, for to work and to and from work for all the necessities, and so that I can spend the whole first week avoiding ATMs.
Exactly.
Because the queues, holy cow.
Yeah, sometimes it's like you really have to think, do I really need this money to stand in this long line for this 200 or whatever it is I'm going to withdraw?
Well, it's also a scenario, guys, in terms of the role that the ATM played. Did you guys know that the ATMs are actually rented infrastructure?
Huh.
The banks pay for that infrastructure that is theirs, that has
the physical device.
Thing. Yeah. It's rented infrastructure. I never knew it. But it probably might have changed in between.
Also, maybe it could be different from institution to institution.
Yeah. So, obviously, if you've got to look at how to get the money circulating as quickly as possible or moving as quickly as possible or as far as possible, I think Namibia still has a big issue in terms of, even though you just mentioned HD, about the ability for your application to function still.
Yeah.
You know, where you thought that you didn't have airtime, you didn't have data packets still, but that burden then falls on the service provider, which is your bank, to ensure that you still have access to your money, because they still want to see you make transactions.
Yeah.
The downside is, where I was last week, guys, there were dead spots. I won't mention the region, because, people might call me up.
That's where you went, and I didn't.
It's your favorite region.
Yeah, so I don't know now if it works. No. If you need reception.
Yeah.
Does it work without reception?
That's the thing.
Or did you try using it with no reception?
It's most likely going to need a reception.
Okay. Guys, I told you, I'm not an FMB client.
Okay.
Of you are, but if you look at the technology component of things, I did bump into some dead spots, meaning there was no signal in certain spots.
Yeah.
And I know, Helmut, you and I communicating last week last week, the communication gaps in terms of when I would respond.
Yeah.
I know that you guys were probably thinking, where is this guy again? People here in Windhoek, Wi-Fi is a luxury. Out in the, I won't even call it the rural areas, but let's just say the other parts of Namibia that is not the Windhoek, you really, really rely on your own data packets.
Yeah.
So the concern would obviously happen in terms of the kind of infrastructure the client has, meaning the consumer. Do they have a smartphone to access things? And is the vendor enabled in that scenario? If there is no vendor, then I wholly agree with what Uncle Bona left us with, his particular, wise words in terms of going to certain areas of rural areas of the country. It'll be a challenge to get the financial inclusion component running. Many cases I could see people would just say, I grow my own food. I've got my own livestock. Why do I need money? I just need to dig a couple of meters for my own borehole. Why do I need my own money?
Yeah, but there's other problems to address before we talk about the access to finances in those areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to say that, because there's no reception, because there's missing infrastructure in this area, that we're now gonna discard or look down on the service. It's not the service's fault that there's no reception in that area, for example. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. And I know the technology component of things can, they will obviously still move forward. But yeah, I mean, it's still early stuff in certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously up to each person. I know just which one part of Windhoek I don't want to be in, and it's specifically that area of Independence Avenue. It's a nightmare, guys. It's a nightmare, guys. You know, I had to go in NAM switch. You know what NAM switch is?
I have no idea.
When you are from a different bank, and you take your, you, because you see either your own bank's ATM is out of order,
mm-hmm.
then you go to another bank's ATM.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just you face a higher
charges.
Charge yeah. for that one transaction.
Yeah.
My bank decided to do the most unthinkable thing on the day that I needed money to get out of a parking lot. And I had to spend 2 hours. Yeah, you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
You remember how annoyed I was when I came back to the office?
Yeah.
2 hours, bruh. Queuing. And do you know what it was? It's those guys that show up at the ATM who decided to send the e-wallet PIN only then at the ATM. Or you have those three guys that show up and then they're both getting the same banknote, you know, the same money note to put it now, to deposit it now into the ATM.
To deposit in the ATM.
The $200 is so heavy, they both need to carry it at the same time. So, that's all. So, the technology itself, ne, would get the money rolling.
Yeah.
I just have a concern with fellow Namibians that don't understand time.
I think that's where, you know, that takes us back to where we started with the definition of financial inclusion, because the goal is to, you know, is to assist or to spread the service to as much people or as many people as possible. And, that's where I think, the education of whatever, you know, financial, you know, inclusion package that's being rolled out, now starts with educating more like sharing information basically about that, you know, that particular package. This is what's being shared from this institution, like financial inclusion from FNB, the one that we're talking about, you know, Cash Plus from FNB that we're talking about now,
mm-hmm.
that these are the people that qualify. Mm-hmm. These are the people that do not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that, you know, for you to have access to this type of, you know, of service, this and this and these requirements are the ones that you have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
My village, for example, is at least.
No, your village has been classified as a town. What is it? A town?
Yeah. Look. A different type of village.
Okay.
Different type. I'm African. Extended family. Long story. Now, give or take 5 or 10 kilometers. It's about 120 kilometers west. West of Divundu.
Mm.
So now here's the thing. The nearest ATM, mm-hmm. at least one that works guarantee. Okay. Is in Divundu.
And it's from one bank.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, but there's one shop that, there's one shop within the very same village that has, I think that's the other service that they also offer, I think. It was just implemented, I think, about, you know, there's a one, because I remember sending money, I think that was, that was last month.
Mm.
So usually what I do is I will send plus the transport money.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me that there was, we're not going to Divundu anymore. There's a shop there, there's a Chinese shop there where they actually have it easy access now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thank you very much. So I was like, so okay, now I will just redirect my transport money to pizza man.
that's what the service is for, making things easier. Now you've cut the expenses of having to travel all the way to Divundu, all that time it takes to go to Divundu, who knows the line that's there in Divundu. Now instead of
month end, oh boy.
Yeah, now instead of doing all
it's
that,
a nightmare.
You just go to your nearest Cash Plus agent. Now, we have about 2-3 minutes before we have to hand over to Ondama. There's one question I want to ask you guys about. Last week I spoke to the head of SME banking at FNB, like I alluded to in the interview with Oja. He and Nesta.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him a question about digitalization and financial inclusion. And if I remember correctly, Nesta's take on this was that, yeah, I think I'm remembering correctly, that digitalization leads to financial inclusion, right? Yeah. Saying that the more digital tools and whatnot we have, the more financially included we have. But then I had David on, who was of the opinion that it should be the other way around.
Yeah.
That I need access to the money first to in order to acquire said digital tools so that I can buy or acquire the digital tools to become more financially included. And, you know, I've been kind of on both sides of the fence. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, but.
No, the answer is both. They are actually ready.
I'd like to hear from you guys. What do you think is this relationship? Does one lead to the other, or are they like, what is it called? Is it a symbiotic relationship?
Yeah.
Like, do you need one before you get the other, or can they coexist?
Who goes first, me or you?
No, I'm still confused. You go first.
Okay, so I agree with both takes.
Yeah.
But I will leverage Kenya's M-Pesa, which has been such a scenario, because last year when, what's their name? The SOE that works with Namfisa, when Namfisa had they also had that same particular event again this year. Mm. David went to it, remember? The FinTech engagement.
Yeah.
So last year they invited the you remember you and I spoke about the Kenyans that were here at the Namfisa FinTech scenario last year.
Yeah.
And they spoke about sandboxing. Yeah. So what the Kenyans asked the M-Pesa guys was, the service provider then, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a bank or not? And then those guys told the Kenyan Central Bank, we don't want to be a bank. We're not there to bank. We're not banking.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping
just facilitating
the money
movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because they outlined in the explainer, because I'm just summarizing, that it was unsafe for Kenyans to go to the ATM. They don't have the luxury like us Namibians, the security, you know, guarding the ATM.
Yeah.
People were literally jumped at the ATM for their money. And there was also limited ATMs available. So they had long queues. So imagine Kenya has what? Almost 40 million people. I think I'm just spitballing there or thumb sucking that number.
Yeah.
But it's more than 10 million.
Yeah.
Now you look at Namibia. Namibia needs a whole host of things present for that argument, the both points to work. The digitalization to enable inclusion and financial inclusion. Or access to the money to allow the digitalization. So what do I mean? Firstly, the idea that you and I have been hammering on about transport.
Yeah.
If you have something like trains or commuter trains running between towns, it allows people to have more money for other things. So then they would just buy their ticket. Or if you had something like that bus service that Helmut and I have been hammering on, or I would have been hammering on here in Windhoek, running circular in Windhoek, I would not need to buy a car or pay petrol. I just buy my ticket. At every bus stop, I buy my ticket. I'm there. The ticket gets stamped because the bus driver has a machine here that stamps the ticket.
Yeah.
In the functioning economies that have that thing.
Yeah.
Stamps the ticket, and then you go on your bus ride to your closest. Then you've got more money on you.
Disposable income.
Yeah. And in the financial inclusion scenario that the Bank of Namibia have on their website, they literally allude from financial inclusion to disposable income. To make the economy work. So the aspect is, David is more right-ish. Having more access to more money, disposable income, allows you to be more financially included and then leads to your digitalization. Because you will start seeing, you know, technologies that you can leverage.
Yeah.
And now you, Helmut?
Helmut, what do you think?
I have no idea. No, look, when you... Dwight is right. Both answers are basically correct. Sort of like they have a gray area where they meet.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, especially if you look at it from the, now this is a service that's being offered. Now that service, needs to, you know, needs people using it for it to be sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for people to use it, they need access, you know, they need, you know, we use it more like, regularly. Yeah. They need disposable income is needed. So that makes access to money very true, because it's a financial service. If you don't have the finance, it would be impossible for you to use the service. Mm-hmm. That makes it very, even if you want to participate, mm-hmm. it'd be very difficult for you to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where they meet now. The service is there to make the convenience of the movement of money possible. Make yeah. it, you know, much easier and much safer because everything is, everything is basically, you know, is being run through a service. So you are not walking around with a stack of money putting your security at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but for you to, for you to give them that money to move, you first have to make the money. So I think, yeah, they're both right here.
Yeah. It's an interesting conversation. That just spontaneously came up that I consistently think about when we have these talks. But before Team Ondangwa gets upset at us, that is the time we have for this evening. This has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access, brought to you by FNB Namibia. We will be back on, today's Monday?
Yeah.
We'll be back on Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM. See you next time.
And stay tuned, guys, for the next program after the break.
Yep.
This has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on EOFM. Financially Included is brought to you by FNB Namibia.